What's going on, guys, and welcome to the Say Yes Project, where permission is granted. I am your host, Ariana, and I'm a child of God who is here to help you guys accept the invitation from God and all that comes with it. Before we get started in today's episode, I encourage you to follow us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify so that you can get the weekly Wednesday drop. I also encourage you to follow us on Instagram at the Say Yes Project Pod so that you can get regular updates on everything involving the show. And we're back, like we never left. And I am just in a place of, you know, one of the things that I'm noticing as I have embarked on this particular journey of my life where I'm trying to spread the gospel, I'm trying to make more disciples, I'm trying to do all of these things, I recognize how much the devil and the enemy really doesn't want certain things to happen. And that's why I feel like today's podcast episode means a little bit more to me. It's even been a little bit difficult to even press record and start it because it's one of the most simple yet intimate yet useful offensive measure that we as believers have in our arsenal when we're dealing with the world and the things we see and the things we experience, and that is prayer. So prayer is one of the things that I believe I struggle the most with when it comes to being in this Christian walk. And I know that my friends who listen to the show or know me would disagree, like, because they've heard me pray and things like that. But like, when it's me one-on-one with God, and even when I'm praying in front of people, I tend to get caught in my own head about prayer, about everything it means. Like, I understand the impact of it, so I never want to walk into my prayer space without total surrenderance, total admiration, all those things. I thought that what better way than to set off coming back into the recording space and back into talking to you guys is to talk about something that I feel the most insecure about, which is prayer. As the last 2 weeks have been reflecting, I've been constantly being nudged back into this place of prayer, but I tend to recoil a lot in my prayer life. I have a script, I have some navigation pieces, but I'm also going to let the Holy Spirit do what he's going to do. Because I don't run my life anymore. I've convinced myself that I don't, and I'm pretty much fine with that. Whew. Okay, so when I started looking more and more into prayer, I wanted to start where I think all of us should start, is like, what is prayer? Prayer has, the way I looked at it was like, I looked at, you know, various different translations of prayer. So like the Latin, the Greek, the Hebrew. The two that stuck out the most to me was the Greek translation of prayer, which is prosike. Yeah, that's what it is. Prosike. You already know I'm gonna butcher these words, so it's, you know, you love me for it. But literally the translation breaks it up into the pro, which is a preposition that means towards or immediately before, and ecce, which originally means spoken aloud but later means a wish or a vow. And as I was delving into deeply of what that means, like to bring, it sounds like immediately before a wish or a vow. And I sat there in that, like, okay, if I'm thinking about being praying towards and praying immediately before, what comes to mind? And even as I further dived into the translation part, it talks about that the New Testament part of the Bible, this translation is the most common Greek word used for prayer. So there's other Greek words for prayer, but that was the one that stood out. And I don't think that that's without a reason. It's something about that immediately before that's really sticking with me, even in this moment as I'm sitting here, I'm looking over my notes and saying, like, immediately before, I keep running through it. And it just gives me this awe about, or maybe not an awe, but like a, how delayed are we when it comes to prayer? Like, when this word is telling us that we need to go immediately before, and we need to spoken aloud, or not even just spoken aloud anymore, but like, you make a wish, you make a vow, say it out loud, do it, whether it's in your heart or out loud, just do it. Don't think about it. Because immediately means to me, like, you don't think about it. You do it, which I think for a lot of us is probably maybe why our prayer life lacks, is because it's not an immediate thing. We immediately do other things, right? Like, we immediately worry, we immediately cry, we immediately start trying to fix. We tend to go that direction than to go to immediate prayer. One of the things that I've learned for myself personally is that sometimes I don't need an immediate fix. Sometimes I really do need to sit into something before I, you know, find myself in a position that puts me away from the word of God and who he is. As we continue my continued breakdown of this word, it also said that prayer is a sense of closeness. It's bringing something immediately to God, right? So back to that word immediate. And it carries the idea of adoration and devotion and worship. And we're going to talk a little bit more about, a little bit later in the episode, about the different areas of prayer that we see in different various situations in life. And I think one of the things I notice is that there's no limits to what you can pray for, because really it's about being close to God, which I think that a lot of us don't feel like we can do because there's no tangible thing here. That's why we tend to want to get close to other people, close to items, close to goals, because they give us this tangible thing that's lost, where we might not always feel like that when we're, you know, talking to God, interacting with him. There's no sometimes immediate answer. Sometimes we feel that God has gone quiet on us and we're less likely to go into this closeness space. But like, even as I'm thinking about it right now and, you know, trying to honor what I'm feeling, which is not to immediately even move to the next topic about this, not even to go immediately to the next translations about prayer, but to sit in the space of like, I get to be close to God, which is all he's ever wanted. Like, when he, you know, created the earth and, you know, created light and darkness, he separated them, he created these animals, you know, I think God recognized that he wanted us here, he wanted us to have access. And I think we can all agree, like, if we're reading the word, like, how grieved he was. I think that there's a certain tone in Genesis when he's talking about, like, okay, now man is like us and knows good and evil, and like, he has to almost in a sense exodus them from the Garden of Eden, that he sounds very bereaved, to me at least. Like, the tone is very sad, because God knew that when they knew this and they did this and they became riddled in the thing that he hates the most, which is sin, that access was completely severed. And that's why we also know that Jesus has always been a part of the plan. Christ has always been a part of what he hoped for the people that he created. We shouldn't take for granted the closeness that we have with the Lord in this space, especially as the people who have been born after the resurrection. I have really gone off script, y'all, but I feel it and I want to keep going in this direction. Like, we have to recognize that before Jesus's birth, ministry, crucifixion, and resurrection, the only way people had access to God is through the temple spaces, the tents, the original tent. It was the veil, if we think about it, like the veil that kept God behind the curtain, and only, you know, you had to constantly purify yourself. You had to constantly bring forth animals and grain and oil and all of these things just to have a moment where you can bring your concerns, your care to God. And I just want to remind people in this moment that we no longer have to do that. If you've ever read Leviticus or Deuteronomy, you realize how much we are blessed in this day and age that all we really have to do is get down on our knees and speak to the Lord. And he hears us and he gathers it, like he said in Revelations, in a bowl of incense. Our prayers are in there and they smell good to him. And he's taking on our worries and our concerns and our cares and our praises and our thanksgiving and our intercessions and like are asking for miracles and signs and wonders and healing. So I just want us to keep our mind on that. And that's something that I have to keep my mind on as well. That's why you guys will always know that anytime I'm saying something, I'm also talking to myself, because a lot of times I forget how close I can get to the Lord if I just am obedient to what he's already said. I'm gonna now move on to the next translation. And what I realized when we get to the Hebrew word is, I'm gonna spell it because I cannot pronounce it. Just gonna be completely transparent. Cannot pronounce the word. But it is L-E-H-I-T-P-A-L-L-E-L. To my understanding, is Litapal is what I think is pronounced, but always go back and look. But the breakdown of that word is a reflective verb. In Hebrew, it's a reflective verb. So it means to pray or self-evaluate or to judge. And as I kept looking at that, when it's like a reflective verb, it's like, okay, so prayer is not just what we give to God as a, this is what I want and this is what I desire and, you know, all of these things. These are also a moment that we can sit in pure self-reflection, because God already knows our heart posture. He already knows the position we are in before we even walk into the space with him, right? That's his, you know, that's his claim to fame, is that he already knows. That's why, you know, we can laugh when he asks questions that he already knows the answer to. Like, he knew why Adam and Eve were hiding. He knew where they were in the garden, but he still asked them. And these are things that he already knew. But the self-reflection comes with, like, now when you say it out loud, I'm a big proponent of, when I say something out loud, that means it's real, that means it's tangible, that means it's something that I can no longer not face. I believe that a lot of us hide in the darkness of our thoughts, because if we said it out loud or we acknowledge the truth, then, or acknowledge what's going on, like, now you can't feign ignorance. I was just having a conversation with somebody the other day where I said that I try not to use the word I don't know when I feel something. Instead, I try to say either I know, but I'm not ready to face it, or I need time to understand what I need to know. Because to imply I don't know, I don't always agree that that is something that is actively happening, where you don't know. I think sometimes it's just a little bit of time. Sometimes it's just you need to be real with yourself about what's going on. So that's why I thought this version of the word prayer was so powerful, because even as you keep going, it says, comparing one's own actions to the holiness of God. Because we know, if we recognize the power of God, if we're reading the word of God and we're reading who he is and who he's always been, then we recognize that we could never quite be like him. And a lot of times we are searching for this perfection that's not within our grasp. Instead, we have to recognize that, like, okay, if I compare my actions, would they measure up to the holiness of God? Not that you would do it perfectly, but does it measure up? Like, even though it may have taken me a little bit longer to forgive, when I did forgive, did it measure up to the holiness of God? When I was angry, did I turn away, or did I act upon it, which is something different than the holiness of God? So we have to recognize the comparativeness of prayer. like we are in a space where we can compare ourselves to the Holy Word and to the Holy God. It's also a bonding moment between creations and creator. So between me and God, me and Jesus, me and the Holy Spirit, right? Because prayer is not exclusive to Christianity. We recognize that there is prayer in other religions, in other spirituality. There are people who, you know, even use prayer in like for good luck, which, you know, is different, and like all of these different things. So prayer is not exclusive to the people of God. But what makes it unique for us is that we are oftentimes sitting in a space where we are bonding with the person who created us, who've known us very intimately, as the Word of God says, right? We're set apart in that way, which we're set apart in many ways, is that we now have a direct access to the God that's created us. It's important to realize that when you are in whatever space you are in, is that this is not just a time of ritual or a time of, you know, routine or anything like this. This is just a moment where you can sit with the Father and recognize his holiness, recognize his greatness, recognize his lovingness. Might not be a word, but that's what you get to do in this space when you are in prayer. And that can almost take away some of the barriers around healthy prayer life, because I don't know if you guys feel the same way. I'll just speak for myself, is that I tend to get in my head the most about prayer is because I'm trying to make sure that I hit every point that I'm supposed to, that, you know, legalism has taught me growing up. Like, you don't just go all willy-nilly to God. Like, of course, we're supposed to go to God with reverence and respect for the place that we are in. But sometimes I think we are trying to be a little too cute in prayer, and God can see and smell and feel and experience the phoniness coming off of us, if I'm just being real. And like I said, I'm speaking for myself. You can agree or disagree in the comments, but I am speaking for, as the daughter of the King right here, that I tend to worry about, okay, did I say Dear Heavenly Father, or did I say this, or do I sound like what I hear when I go to church, or, you know, these different things, when God wants to bond with me. He's looking at me stressed out about what I'm saying and what I'm doing, and he's looking like, well, if you would just say hi, that's where we can start. Or you don't have to say anything at all, and we're going to talk about that form of prayer, right? I think the well-meaning but almost useless intentions of like the church and, you know, religion and that aspect has kind of done us a disservice when it comes to how to cultivate a healthy prayer life, because there's so many steps and moves and things like that that hide us away from the true purpose of prayer. I remember my pastor one time saying how him and his family, you know, pray in the house together, and he had his daughter lead them in prayer, and she just started going right into it. And he had to stop her and say, I need you to slow down and recognize who you're speaking to. And I think if we would all slow down and recognize who we're speaking to, it would be a lot easier or a lot simpler for us to engage in this all the time versus when it is convenient or when it is orchestrated. I think a little bit I've gone into like my next point, which is like, how does God view prayer? I think the biggest example of how God sees prayer is through the life of his son, Jesus. One of the things we have to always recognize when you're reading any of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, is that God, who is Jesus is God, all God, but he's also all human, recognized the importance of prayer. What he would do oftentimes when you're reading it is he would preach for hours, and then he would go off and pray for just as long. There was never a moment where he was, you know, too busy to pray, or he was not in constant communication with the father, because he recognized that this was an offensive measure, that this was a moment of intimacy, because again, earth was not Jesus's home. Heaven was. So he may at times felt homesick, where I need to talk to my father because I need to have this moment of intimacy with him. And like, can I just stay right there for a second and say that Jesus recognized that this was not his home and that heaven was, and that's why he had to constantly be in a space of prayer so that he could constantly fellowship with the thing that felt more, what's the word, more intrinsic to him. That's the same thing we are, right? Like, we focus, my pastor said this last Sunday, which I 100% agree with, and I mentioned a little bit in last 2 weeks ago's podcast, where I said that oftentimes we focus so much on Jesus as a deity that we forget that he was also all man. If he's doing it, then that's a good blueprint for us, which is, okay, I have to remember that this is something that is intimate, that's something that is exclusive to me as a believer in this capacity, that is also a space where I can be reminded of who I am through self-reflection, but also who God is through revelation. This is not a time of anything else but intimacy. So one of the things that I was looking at when it was talking about Jesus's prayer life and how oftentimes you'll notice that Jesus never prayed for his physical needs, while he did find it to be important because he included it in the model prayer when it says, give us this day our daily bread. So that's the moment of like physical needs, the things that we desire, the things that we want. So and by no means am I saying you should not be praying for what you want, but what I am saying is that you never see Jesus focus in on like, well, I want this, I want glory, I want honor, I want all of these things. Oftentimes, Jesus' prayer was intimacy, presence with the Lord, and praying for somebody else. He interceded on the behalf of the sick and the unhealed and the non-believers and the people who did not belong to him. He also prayed a lot for his fellow man, the fellow Jews, his disciples. He was constantly praying for others. So we have to remember that God is not a genie. This is not a grocery list where you go in and you write down everything you need and you go in the store and you're trying to grab everything off the shelf. Because I think that is another indication of a poor prayer life, is when you're looking at God as this transactional thing where like, I'm going to you and praying for you when I need something, and then you're waiting around for him to answer the prayer. And then when you realize that's not how it quite works, then you are tapped out of prayer. Right. So then you tap back in when you're regenerated, because now the prayer has been answered. So now we're back. That's important to recognize that it's not. It's a time to lift our hearts and minds to behold him and enjoy him. And that's why one of the most important things that I've recognized in this study and what I'm saying yes to in my prayers is that my heart posture is the most important part of having a prayer life like Jesus. Because if your heart is only postured on what God can do for you, then yeah, it's not going to be exciting. It's not going to be fun. It's not going to be, you know, nice and warm and comforting, because you're looking at him as this thing. So sometimes we have to even remember that the part of our posture is the surrenderance that we have to God and to his will. So like, even if I pray something and it doesn't turn exactly the way I wanted it to, that I still can pray and I can still be in there, because my heart posture knows that God can do multiple things in my life. One of the common ones that we can talk about is even healing. And I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but I'm going to come back to it, so it doesn't matter. So we sometimes will pray to God to like heal a loved one who may be sick with cancer, and then that loved one passes away and we feel like, well, God didn't answer my prayer. But that's not necessarily always true. Oftentimes he is answering the prayer, because you prayed for healing, and healing is not exclusive to earth. There's also healing in heaven. Like, I remember, you know, I talk to a lot of clients about grief, and they oftentimes are concerned with like, well, why would God take her or take him or do this thing. But we have to recognize that sometimes our prayers, it's not about being specific with like, I want you to heal my person and he live or she lives. Sometimes we have to allow the will of God to be done. And if that is for them to be removed from this life, that I will, to give me the strength to deal with that part, right? Because just like I said earlier, there is no limits to what you can pray for when it comes to God, right? There's no limits. I kind of want to begin to shift a little bit of gears and talk about types of prayers. This is the most interesting thing that I found myself doing when I was writing up this particular part of my, because I write notes when I'm trying to make sure I have everything together, what I want to talk about, is that the more I wrote down things that you could pray for, the list got longer and longer and longer. And I was like, with respect to time, I can't write out every single thing that you can pray, but I can hit the main points. So one of the first things we'll talk about in like what you can pray for is praying for others. Praying for others is the optimal way that you can look like Christ walking on earth. We are never more like Christ than when we are praying for others. That is a quote that I dragged from a website. And even when you look into different scenarios where you can pray for others, you can pray for others when it comes to their healing. You can pray for their salvation, that they will understand and know God. You can pray that, like, when they fall short, that they can come back. There's so many different things that you can pray for, because our God is constantly interceding on our behalf, right? So one of the first scriptures that I saw that talks about this prayer that you can have for others starts in James chapter 5 verse 16, and it reads, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person is very powerful in its effects." So let's say that I do this a lot with my friends, and my friends do it with me, and I love biblical community, which will be something we talk about later, is that if we find ourselves falling short, when we find ourselves not doing what we're supposed to do, the first thing we're going to do is send each other a text that says, "Hey, I'm struggling in this area, pray for me." Because sometimes we don't have the words. Sometimes we feel so shame, feel so much guilt, feel all of these things that we can't pray for one another. We can't pray for ourselves, really. But that doesn't mean that people can't pray for you. It doesn't mean that you have to suffer in silence, right? Like, it goes back to suffering and suffering well. If suffering well says that I can tell people what I've done, holds me accountable, right? It's heavy on the holds me accountable, but also prayer, it's that I will be free, that I will accept the free gift of forgiveness, right? And that's why it says the prayer of a righteous person is very powerful in its effects. One of the things we have to be careful about is like getting prayers from everybody. Everybody does not have your best interest at heart. I remember I used to have a really short haircut, and my barber had said one time that he was out doing something for an event that he was planning, and a lady was like, walked up to him and was like, "Oh, you know, I just see a great spirit over you. I would love to pray for you." And he declined, because he said, "I don't know her. I don't know what she's praying to. I don't know if she's praying to the same God as me." And respectfully, I had to say no. And I agreed with him in that moment, because yeah, there are people that are praying to demons. There are witches that have an effect. And not to say that they are more powerful than God, but let's not trifle with things that are not of God. So, you know, you be careful and be mindful and be aware of who is praying over you, because everybody doesn't have your best interest. But the ones that do, seek them out in prayer. Create a little community of people who can pray over you, that you trust that we're at least praying to the same God as each other. We both believe in the power and the healing power of Jesus Christ, and we have that Holy Spirit discernment. So that's one example. Another example comes to us in 1 John 5:16. So 5:16 is a number, clearly. And it says, "If anyone sees a fellow believer let me start over. If anyone sees a fellow believer committing a sin that doesn't lead to death, he should ask and God will give life to him. To those who commit sins that doesn't lead to death, there is sin that leads to death. I am not saying he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and is there, and there is sin doesn't lead, and there is sin that doesn't lead to death, right? So that's the same concept that James is talking about, where it's like, okay, if you see something, if you see your fellow man falling short, it is better for you to pray for them than to gossip about them, than to judge them unrighteously, better than to just watch them suffer. Like we talk about before, and like it's in Matthew where it says that we are in this community of Christ, need to hold each other accountable and make sure that we're not falling away. It's almost like we talk a lot about, like, you know, leaves the 99 and goes after the one. But if you see your fellow brother and sister in Christ sinning, don't let them just lead, fall off the cliff. Instead, how about we pray for them and continue to pray and continue and pray and continue to pray until they come back into the folds. Seek them out, reach out to them. Make sure that they're not alone, because you don't know how much that may be helping them in their time of need. And the reason why this is all important is because, again, our blueprint is doing it for us. Jesus is our great intercessor. He's our great high priest. That's what he came down to earth to become and do for us. Because it says in Hebrews 7:25, therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, since he always lives to intercede for them. In that part of Hebrew, he's talking about Jesus. So a lot of times we're saying yes to modeling a life of a man that gives us the full script on how to live. So like he's constantly interceding on our behalf, just like we can like mess up and there are angels that are crying out for us to God, that he will still, you know, keep his promises to us. It's almost like if you are on like the TikTok or Instagram version of Christian content, like the funny content, they always describe Jesus as this lawyer that comes in at the last minute and is like, nah, he good, or nah, she's good, like let her in. That's who he is, and that's through the prayers that he prayed before some of us was even thought of, existed, anything within this 2025. So that is a way to pray, is to pray for others, because when you pray for others, that only can mean to me that like whatever blessings they receive is going to be in your neighborhood as well. So never forget that in your prayer time, and it doesn't have to be every prayer time. Sometimes the prayer time is for something else and let it be for that. But like, never forget that you can constantly be in conversation with God. So if you're constantly in conversation, if you pray without ceasing, then you can always bring up a person in there, whether it's an unsaved family member, whether it's the city that you live in, or if we're being frank right now in this world, the country that we live in, we might have to pray for some things, that things change and shift and move in the direction that is in the will of God. That's another thing, that a type of prayer you can do. There's also prayer for praise. Sometimes we just need to sit there and say, thank God. Thank God for who you are and what you've done and how you've blessed me and how you've forgiven me and how you've brought me out and how I can tell a mountain to move and how, because you have the authority over my life and the life of others. Sometimes we just need to praise. And I think that one of the best ways that you can find words or information is through the Holy Bible. But in particular, the Psalms are really good at giving you different forms of prayer that you can have in praising and giving thanksgiving. So you have like Psalms 19 and Psalms 92. And even, I'm not going to read them because sometimes they get long, but like those are particular ones that talk about the goodness of God and who he is and what he's done and how he's always going to be this thing. Another one that I would encourage you is in 2 Samuel 22:7. There's multiple times in this particular song, and it's a song because David was very musical. King David was very musical. that he talks about the goodness of God through his prayer and through his worship. So it kind of goes back to what I said before, that, you know, prayer is also a version of worship. So it talks about in that scripture that I called to the Lord in my distress. I called to my God. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cries for help reached his ear. That just shows how much praise to this one that we don't always touch, but can still catch every cry in his ear, that can hear my voice. And he knows that it's Ariana. Like, he knows it's me, and he knows that I can comfort her. He also talks about in the same Psalms, and this is after everything that's happened to David, after he was sought after by Saul to be killed, after he fell short in the eyes of God through his adultery and the murders and even all the messed up things that his kids did, he still said, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock, where I seek refuge. That's a praising. Rocks are solid and they're here. Fortresses are unimpregnable. My deliverer brings things to me. And we know that David thought a lot about God in this way. That's why most of the Psalms that are written about by David talk about praise, forgiveness, thanksgiving, lamentations, all type of things. Even chapter 22, verse 1 is directly identical or nearly identical to Psalms 18, which kind of starts in that same way. You can always just sit and praise God. Praise God for what he's done. Praise God for what he's going to do. Praise God for the things he's rejected on your behalf. Praise God that he did one thing that was very, you know, brought you up real high, but he also did things that brought you down low, but he was always right there. So don't forget to like praise him like there. And you can do that in your prayer, in your secret place, when you're walking around the house, when you're just thinking of the goodness of God. I went to Savannah last weekend, Savannah, Georgia, and I was just, me and my friend were just looking around, and we were like, look at the beauty of God. That's actually a form of a prayer, me to just, us just saying and interceding together, just looking around it, like, because it was a beautiful weekend, beautiful weather, and Savannah's already a beautiful city, but it's like, by the making of God. And it just makes you want to shout, because it's like, wow, this is who created me as well. Thank you, God. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you that you've taken me from a mighty long way. You know, now these psalms and these praise songs, I think for a lot of us, generation of kids that grew up in the church, hit a little different, because now we understand why our parents were falling out in church, because God had really brought them through a mighty long way. And that's why they prayed. I think about when I sat in my grandmother's house when she was alive, and I would hear her praying and without the literal scripture of Thessalonians, when it says praying without ceasing with my grandmother. And I remember you thinking, like, I can't wait to have a relationship with God like that. And I'm getting there, and I'm thankful for that. But she prayed about everything, about people, about the state of the world, for me, for my dad, for her, you know, just how thankful she was for God. The last two that I'll bring up is even the epitome of praying for yourself. Whether we talk about Hannah's prayer, where she is barren and she wants to give birth to a child, and she understands what God said in Genesis, where it said that you will, you know, multiply and be fruitful and multiply. She understood that. And so she recognized the power of God if she just reminded him of his promises to his people. And I just want to sit in that space a little bit more, which is that a lot of times we pray without expectancy, without abundancy. We pray like this thing can't happen. I've heard too many stories of people who have prayed and charged God with what he already said and received exactly what they desired, or they line their will up with the will of God. So lining your will up with the will of God says that I go back to the scriptures and I sit there in a space and say, wait a minute, God. Yeah, the doctors are telling me that I can't give birth. The doctors are telling me that their things are wrong, but that doesn't mean that you have forgotten your child. So I'm going to pray to you either that your will be done. And if the will is not to have children, then I won't have children. And you will give me the strength to embrace that. Or I'm going to pray so fervently that you are going to work in my life that I will give birth to a child. I'm an answered prayer just my whole existence. My mom did not know if she could have children. And there was a time where she had decided that she surrendered that over to God. Like that wasn't going to be her business anymore. And look at me living and breathing at 30 years old. Can we talk about God and an answered prayer? And one of the things that when we start praying for ourselves, we have to recognize that whatever we pray is not automatic to us. That's where the surrenderance comes. And that's why I believe in closing the gap. My mentor talks about that a lot, which is when you pray for something or when you, well, not when you pray. Her example is more like when you ask somebody to do something and they do it, close the gap. And say, hey, I asked you to do this thing and I appreciate you for taking the time to do it. Thank you. I appreciate you. You're considerate. You're mindful. You're all of these things. Why don't we have that same energy? We don't already have that energy for people. So we probably don't have the energy with God. But sometimes we have to pray a prayer and then the next day pray the prayer like, well, thank you for letting that already happen. Thank you for already putting that in the works. Thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness to your servant, even if it hasn't happened yet, so that when it does happen, you can, it's already closed up, but you can also keep praying, right? So don't forget to close the gap in your prayers. So even if it's not to say like you keep checking on it, like it's a tracking link, but you're saying like, well, thank you God for already letting it happen. If you've been wanting your business to thrive and it hasn't, well, pray that your business will thrive and then thank God for your business to have thrived. Whether it is a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. If you prayed for that spouse, then pray for the spouse too. So pray that God sends you the spouse, but while he's sending the spouse to you, you pray for the spouse. That he is in good health, that she is loving God and she's getting more close to him. Don't leave it hanging because God loves the confessions of our mouth. There's other examples of people who have prayed for things, even prayed for healing. So King Hezekiah in 2 Kings 20:1 through 11 was told by the prophet Isaiah that his life was going to be cut short or his life was going to be shortened. And he prayed that God would heal him and give him more time here on earth. And what he received was 15 years more of life. We can't underestimate what God can do. We can never underestimate it. And the list can go on and on of the things that we can pray for. We can pray for repentance. We can pray for understanding. Like if you're reading a scripture and you don't understand it, you can pray for understanding. You can pray as a form of venting because Jeremiah was so frustrated and you see it in his chapter and he ends up potentially writing Lamentations, which is literally just mourning and grief about what happened to Israel, to Jerusalem, because they were under Babylonian capture. That you can pray frustrations to God, because a lot of times, again, we forget that God understands us even more intimately, not just because he's God, but because he came down and took on human skin. So he understands frustrations. He understands disappointment, betrayal, rejection, all of those things. So sometimes we don't want to go in there and be mad at God or be angry with God or be any of these things because we find that to be blasphemous. And the church has kind of, you know, perpetuated that thought. But we also don't question his existence. Don't question necessarily him as in God. But you can go in there and be like, Lord, help me because I'm pissed. I am angry. There are Psalms that literally talk about just the crying out of God and feeling unheard. So you can tell God that. He already knows it's in your heart. He knows that you feel like he's abandoned you. So why not just say it out loud? Why not just say, you know what, God, I'm irritated. These people on earth are frustrating me. I'm just over it. One of my favorite two examples, and I keep saying it, I'm going to say, I probably might bring up this one moment from Moses every single time, but I'm also going to bring up Elijah as well. But Moses literally prayed to God and said, I am sick of taking care of these people. I'm sick of hearing them complaining. I'm sick of all of this thing. And if this is the will over my life, please take it from me or kill me. That's what he said. And even Elijah, in his distress over what was going on, that he was the only one of the prophets left after Jezebel had killed off many of the prophets of God, that he was just, and again, another one, kill, I don't want to be here anymore. And God literally told him, but that wasn't a prayer that he said that. And God's response was, go to sleep and eat bread, go to sleep, eat bread. And he was fine. Look at the direction God can give us in an immediacy. He said that he did the same thing with Moses. So a lot of times we don't pray because we don't believe God is actually going to do what he said he's going to do. But he might answer your prayer right there in that moment. He might give you understanding right there in that moment. He might give you clarity right there in that moment. So to push away from the table of prayer because you don't know, because there's uncertainty, is you operating in fear. And again, I hope it's coming across that I am right in the midst with y'all in that, because I've held back on prayers. I have not talked to God in a very authentic way where I honor and have reverence for him and respect him, because I fear that I will be disappointed when my prayer is not answered. And I, you know, worry about whether or not he hears me. Like, I believe wholeheartedly at times before, not so much today, but like 2-3 years ago, I could tell you without a doubt that I believed that God could do great things in somebody else's life. But when it came to me, I thought that I was too broken. I had made too many mistakes. I had been too sinful, that the tricks of the enemy was like, you're only going to God because you want something, and all these things that have kept me out of the prayer room with God. But I want to sit here and tell you guys right now that the enemy is a lie. We have to always remember he got kicked out of heaven, and he's a bald-head liar. That's who he is. So he's going to tell you things, and he's going to chirp in your ear about who God is in your life and who you are in the great plan of God. But you have to recognize that you are so intertwined into his plan that you would literally not be here if he didn't have a plan for your life. So we can't ever, for 1 minute, 1 second, forget about the goodness of God and forget how integral we are to his plan. We can. This podcast episode went a little bit different than I thought. I had a lot more notes and I had a lot of more things to say, but I feel right now I've said what I needed to say about prayer. And I hope, not just for you guys, but I hope for myself as well, that this is an area of my life that I can strengthen. So right now I pray that you guys will begin the steps of getting closer to God in prayer, that you have not gone too far, that you can't sit and speak with him, that he is not too weak of a God that he can't hear your cries and your frustrations. I pray right here in this moment that you will recognize that this is a gift. Prayer is a gift for us that we get to now experience and get close with God in. So I really hope that this helped in some way, some shape or form, not just for you, but I also am hoping for me, that it's going to help me strengthen my confidence in this ability to sit in a space of prayer with God. So that is it for today. I pray that this episode gave you another reason to say yes to God. Continue to press in. And as Luke wrote in his Gospels, the heavens are rejoicing over your decision. Love and blessings.